two things I wanted to share with you real briefly before we begin. I guess it was maybe 2 weeks ago or so that you were invited to participate in this invitation that Kayla Schindel felt like the Lord gave her for the body at Living Hope to create Christmas cards to be delivered to the folks at St. Anne's retirement community just up here on Columbia Avenue. And she felt like the Lord said that, you know, we should prepare 100, or the number of residents in the particular area that the activities director said, well, there's about 100, if you could provide 100 cards. And so that invitation went out to you, and you don't listen well. You didn't provide 100 cards, you provided 200 cards. So I'm glad you don't listen well. And it was really cool. You know, as you know, my wife Molly works there, and she was with one of her patients this week, and you know, she was looking like he had a bunch of cards in the room, and she's been with this gentleman different times. He knows a little bit about her, and he asked her. He said, you know, tell me again which church you go to. And she said, well, I go to Living Hope Community Church. And he said, I got a card from them this week. He said, that was so sweet. Someone made a card. So 200 people were blessed with a Christmas card from you. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. What a blessing. And again, just to repeat what I said, whatever it was last week or 2 weeks ago, like, I love when God does that. This wasn't like a church program that we decided, hey, you know, we should do something. God spoke to Kayla, and Kayla obeyed and said, okay, if that's what we're supposed to do, let's do it. She came to the church, and you guys made it happen. So thank you. Thank you for that. Second thing, I just wanted to report that several of us were able to gather at Joe and Sherry Christman's house on Friday evening. I think a number of you know Joe and Sherry. We were able to gather at her house to baptize her on Friday night. It was so precious. Some of you may be aware of this, but Sherry is battling with cancer right now. It's a reoccurrence of a cancer that she had years ago. But Sherry has been on this journey with the Lord, and she's been growing and drawing closer to Him. And one of the requests recently was could she asked me if I could come and baptize her, and I said, absolutely. I'll bring a few people so the church is there. You know, there were five of us sitting in the living room with Joe and Sherry, and it was precious. It was so precious. You know, it was every bit as majestic and glorious as a cathedral filled with thousands of people, you know, because God was there, and we were able to just celebrate that symbol of baptism. To create a segue from that to this morning, part of baptism, as I understand it, is an opportunity for an individual to make a declaration, a public declaration where they say, I have placed my faith in Jesus Christ. I have received this gift of forgiveness. And then the symbol of baptism, of course, has a lot of symbolism. Not here to talk about all that this morning. But there's something about declaration, and the five of us in the living room got to hear Sherry's words. So we were witnesses, and now we are also those that can testify to, yes, this is what Sherry said, this is what God's doing in her life. And we were blessed by hearing her declaration. So to connect that to this morning, we did this last year, and I thought it was really a blessing. I thought, let's do it again this year. This is the last Sunday of the year. I know in some ways it's a Sunday, just like any other Sunday. Tomorrow's going to be Monday. But yet, this time of year, we're reminded again that, okay, another year has passed since we last turned the calendar, replaced the calendar with the one from 2018 to the one from 2019. The one for 2019. So this is the last Sunday. So I hope you saw the email that went out this week. By the way, if you are newer to Living Hope and you don't receive our emails, just get your email address to the office, and that we'll make sure we'll get you in that email loop. But the invitation was simply this. We wanted to take our time together this morning to just give you opportunity to use the baptism language to make a public declaration for the benefit of others as to what God has done this year. Like Mary said so well in the beginning, you know, when we look back over a block of time of 12 months, I assume all of us could say, you know, there were some really difficult things in 2018. I can say that. There were some difficult things in 2018. But then at the same time, we say, but yet I see how God used this one, or I see how God provided this thing or did this thing. And there may be some of you who this difficult thing is just now kind of starting for you, and you're wondering, like, will I have a good testimony at the end of 2019? God is faithful. So this is very simple this morning. First, you don't have to listen to me preach, so that's good news number one. And number two is you get to hear declarations from other people. That is, if anybody is willing to share them. So I would just invite you, maybe you saw that email, you're already prepared, you have something you want to share, or maybe God will prompt you just in this moment of, here's one thing you could just share to encourage the body regarding God's faithfulness. We do walk through difficult things in life. It's part of our journey here on the earth and part of our deal as fallen humans. Some of the difficulties we walk through are our own doing. Some of them are not. They're out of our control. But either way, that's enough of an intro, okay? I have the mic here. I just want to open it up for people to testify to God's goodness, to make a declaration. Mary said the value of the monument that they were to build was it was making a statement of something God had done. So, who wants to make a statement of something God has done this year? Who will be that brave soul to kick us off? Come on up. You got to come up. I guess I can bring the mic to you if you want, but you're halfway up here now, so you have to finish the walk now. I can bring the mic to you if you want. If you'd rather not come up, I can bring the mic to you. Thanks. Now I said it, right? Now that I made you walk the whole way up here. Now, for those of you, I'll give you a little mic etiquette. Please hold the mic right close to your mouth, because sometimes we use this mic, people say, I can't hear what people are saying. So the absolute best way to do it is rest it right here on your chin. That's the best way to do it. Go ahead, Denise, now that I've given the mic etiquette.
Okay, first of all, let me say this before I even begin. I grew up being told, do not tell people when you need something because no one cares. So I don't want to get emotional. I've been emotional over this for quite a while. Mid-November, my income stopped. It just wasn't coming. And I was waiting and for it to start again and taking the savings I had and paying what bills I could. Toward the end of November, I said to Ron, can you be praying for me because I have no income, my rent's due. So I contacted one other person and said, can you be praying for me? And that's Carla. So Ron said, let me know what happens. So then I had found out why I wasn't getting money, so I went to Ron. So the church paid my rent for December. Carla, in the meantime, contacted my life group. They gave me money for groceries. Carla paid a bill. And Richard, I got to include Richard. He was part of that.
I guess.
Yeah, Richard actually was, the money came from Richard. Carla handed it to me. Jay said to me one day, you look pretty down. I said, yeah. So I explained to him. So Jay gave me a number and said, call this number, see if they can help. They paid my January rent and they paid my electric bill for December. So I was like, okay, I just now have the other bills. What am I going to do? So I just continued to pray about it. Ron was praying about it. I know Jay and Sharon and my life group. So one day I'm going to the mailbox and dreading opening the mailbox, like, please, no more bills, no more bills. I open up, and there's a little envelope in there with a piece of paper. As I folded this one piece of paper, it says, hope this helps you. There was $600 in this envelope. Mm. an anonymous donation. But the amazing part about this is the Lord brought in to me exactly what my income would have been for those weeks I was missing. So anyone struggling, please know, first of all, ask for prayer. Don't hide it. Don't. I said to Carla, like, just walking in the shame, and she said, there's no shame in this. This is what the Lord means to do, to show you, like, you're loved, you're cared for. He will provide for you. So anyone walking through it, please ask for prayer. The power of prayer is amazing. The Lord is just, he says, I will provide, and he did. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Denise. Thank you. Who's next? Okay, if you raise the hand, if you raise your hand, I will bring the mic your way. I prefer you come up here so we get a better look at you, but who's next? Coming up, Glenn. And if you know you want to speak, you can come on up and take a seat right here in the front row, and you'll go right next.
The answer that I received didn't only concern me. It involved our men's group as well that I'm a part of. Joe, who Ron just talked about, Joe and Sherry, come to me one Sunday here about a month ago and said, Glenn, he said, Sherry knows she's going to be losing her hair, and she needs somebody to come to the house to do that. You know, do you know anyone? Just understand, it's very hard for Joe to, he doesn't want to be beholden to anybody, and neither does Sherry, for that matter. Of course, I fit that bill sometimes, too. And so I said, Joe, well, just give me a little bit here. So I had to refer to my wife and daughter, because I don't go to a hairdresser, not normally anyway. And they said, well, and the ones that I did actually know aren't currently coming here. So she said, well, there's a lady that sits over here. I just know her as Doris. She said that they were told that she works taking care of hair. So I called Joe that evening, and I told him, I said, here's the lady I was told that does do hair, and she goes to our congregation. I said, would you like me to call her, or would you? He said, no. He said, I see her name in the phone directory, so he said, I'll call her. This was Sunday evening. Monday morning at 9:30, I got a text from Joe thanking me and saying, Sherry's hair was cut, and she's just bubbling over because Doris came over and they really had a good time. I just say this, you know, don't be afraid to share your needs. I mean, there's people in the congregation who, things they feel they couldn't do, but this was something Doris could do, and she really enjoyed it. She talked to me here the other Sunday. So, and I was blessed, and so were Joe and Sherry, because it was an answer to prayer. To some people, that was a small thing. To me, it was a God thing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Thanks, Glenn. Karen. Karen.
Thank you. What I learned this year, just recently, was that we can ask for big things, and sometimes we forget to ask for the small things. Mm-hmm. We had to replace our well pump this year, and a couple of months ago, and the well shaft is very old, and so when you pull, every time you pull up the pump, it creates a lot of rust. And this went on for almost a week. And you only can go so long till you need to wash some things. So anyway, I noticed the water was still coming out very rusty. And I just prayed and I said, Father, I don't know if you want to answer this, but if you would, please. And it was just like right like that. The water came out clear. Hmm. So Amen. Don't be afraid to ask. He is there in the little things. He's there in the big things, too.
Hmm. That's good. Okay.
Well, Beginning of this year was a very difficult time for me. I was hospitalized at Phil Haven for over a week. I was diagnosed with some mental health issues that I knew I already had some problems in my life, but this was something new for me that I was dealing with. It was very, very difficult for me to get through, and a last resort was to end up going to the hospital, which I did. And I received treatment and was put on medication, but the one thing I was lacking wasn't the medication, it was my faith, and it was prayer and just a real relationship with Christ, and that's what I was missing in my life. I wasn't coming to church really in the beginning of the year. I started coming to church more regularly. I attend Bible study now, and more so than that, I really have a relationship at home, and my husband's now coming to church, and my daughter, I'm teaching both of my children. We're reading the Bible together, and we say prayers together, and I'm not letting these little things and these big things hold me back anymore. I'm trying to walk through these trials, and as hard as it can be, and some days I feel like giving up, and some days I feel really anxious. It takes a lot for me to even just come up here because the anxiety is real. I'm like shaking. But I just am really just having faith in the Lord and knowing that He brings good things out of bad things. And that's something that I used to not have faith in. I didn't believe if God loved me, why would He allow me to struggle like this? Why would He let me have these thoughts? Why would He let me just basically hate my life and hate everything about what was going on in my world? But I come to realize that God does sometimes allow these things to happen, but He does it so we can be closer to Him and we cry out to Him. And when we do that, we can just grow so much closer to Him, and he opens doors that I never knew were there, and I'm just forever grateful for that. So it's been a very challenging year, but I've learned a lot from it, and
I've been faithful. Thank you, Shana. Thank you. All right. Not that I'm keeping score, but everybody so far is on this side of the line. So anybody on this side? No, who's next? Somebody else has a story they want to share. Oh, two more points for this side. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. It's soon going to be halftime, and you're
you're going to have to do something to raise that side of the room.
Yeah, I guess.
You know, maybe there.
I was hoping you would come up, but I wasn't going to call you out. So hold that just a little bit
okay,
higher.
Okay, I sure will. So 2018, we started 2018 knowing there'd be a lot of change in our family. We had two weddings and our first grandbaby on the way when we looked at the beginning of 2018. God saw fit to add a few other things into 2018, including the passing of my mother-in-law. So when we got through the last wedding, which was Makai and Carrie, we thought we were home free for the end of the year.
Coasting now
through the end of the year and into 2019, until God saw fit for a heart attack at age 52. And that alone was very confusing, as you can imagine. Being in the hospital, being told you had a heart attack, which made absolutely no sense because I went to the hospital for like the start of pneumonia or something. I didn't know what it was. So anyway, long story short, heart catheterization said that's not good enough, and you need open heart surgery. So 8 weeks ago yesterday, I had triple bypass open heart surgery. In the last 8 weeks, and through that process, I want to say just seeing God's provision even in the hospital during all of the waiting, which was way too many days of waiting for me. I'm not a very patient person. Ron knows that. And so patience, God said, patience. A few more days sitting in the hospital won't kill you. Stay here. And so we did. We went through the process, but the doctors, like, I don't know about you, but most people I don't think know who their cardiothoracic surgeon is. So when you're in the hospital and they say, hey, do you have a cardiothoracic surgeon? I'm like, I don't, keep one in my pocket. I don't know anybody who does that, so pick one. And so, but every single doctor, all of the nurses, even when I was in the ICU, the ICU nurses that we were provided, the ICU nurse said it was his 200th open heart surgery patient, and I was his last because he had finally finished and he was moving on to being a nurse practitioner. So God just provided so many things along that way and people praying. And I have to say thank you to all of you here because I know many of you here were praying. Anyway, it was a great time. 8 weeks, I've seen a lot of growth in the last 8 weeks. I'm standing here, which I'm very thankful for. And my wife keeps saying she's thankful for. I'm not sure she's been a great, and Simeon's 50-50 yet. He's still guessing. It's been great to see all of the support that comes through that and just to see how God can provide through so many different aspects and different people. So I'm thankful and thankful for the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thanks, Daryl. Thank you.
Well, I'm new to standing up here, so I still do get nervous. I'm a father of four children and a very blessed man. But there are times when I'm wondering, is God gonna bless my children? And it's a struggle to not wanna bless them because I can. And so I've had three very blessed answers, I guess, for my children this year. The easiest one to say is for Rachel. She has an internship, which I was wondering, you know, will she get one? But she does. She has one. Yes. Then there's Corbin, who graduated in May with a mechanical engineering degree and wasn't getting a job. And then one of those prophetic words came out of my mouth one time when I was talking to him, and I said, you're going to watch yourself because you're going to have choices. A couple weeks later, he had three choices. Maybe I should have spoken that earlier. I don't know. But anyway, he now has a good job. And then there's Megan, my veterinary student up at Cornell. She had a very good living situation, but a very bad partner or other lady that she was living with. And essentially, the other lady finally said, you gotta leave. Righteousness and unrighteousness don't dwell together very well. Mm-hmm. And that's what the situation was. So in the middle of the term, it's like she has to find another place to live. And that's not an easy deal either. So she was in the college one area, and there's bulletin boards, and she saw this, if you need a place to rent, live, pulled that little tab off, called the number up, and the man says, where did you find that tab? And she said, where she found it, and he said, but that is months old. You know, I'm all full, but just a week or so ago, someone terminated their lease, and I'm redoing this place. You can have it. Now, Megan says, that's a God thing. And that's a treasure to hear from her mouth. So, parents, you know, try to keep your mouth shut when you need to, but speak when you need to. Because God will bless your children. He cares immensely for them, just as much as he cares for you and your wife and all the others. So.
Thanks, Clyde. Someone else. All right. Someone's coming from the other team over here.
For my son-in-law.
Sure.
I'm up here to share a testimony about my son-in-law, Gordon Ziegler. Many of you might know him. He used to come here. Anyway, he had a back operation some time ago, about a year, probably a year and a half ago. And it left him very, in other words, the operation wasn't really that successful for him. It left his one leg that began to shrink. And when he sits down, it lost all his movement in it. When he sits down, he can try like everything just to get it off the floor, and he can't do that. So it left him with a tough time walking. And he used a staff like something like Moses would have carried, a wooden staff that he, and he has two chicken houses that are 500 feet long to walk back and forth a couple times every day. So it's a lot of walking and hard walking to keep him from falling, in other words. But anyway, this summer we had two people from Global Ministries that we've had them in our home since, I guess, 10 years already. But anyway, there was one from India and one from Ethiopia. And they're both different in personalities. But anyway, Gordy one night called them to come down and pray for him. And so they did. And the one from Ethiopia was the one that really prayed for him. And if you know anything about some Africans, they can get very loud. But he really prayed for a long time. And Gordy said, if you'd have been out at the barn, you could have heard him. You could have heard it, in other words. But anyway, through that experience, Gordy, from the day he prayed, until the day, he has never used a cane after that. He walks straighter, and he doesn't use a cane. So that was a really wonderful miracle. And it doesn't matter how loud somebody prays.
Yeah.
God hears.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Andy. Thanks. Who else? Are you? You can sit if you want. Are you coming up to clarify this thing, or?
No,
I'll sit with you.
I just felt like sitting.
All right, I'll sit with you.
I'm lazy and have a long day. At the beginning of the year, I was not going to this church. I was going to the church I grew up in, and I was co-leading the youth group and involved in worship. And about February, March timeframe, I realized that where God was taking my church and where God was taking me was two different directions, and so to kind of keep me from breaking them or breaking myself, I decided to leave the church. And I bounced around from church to church, trying not to come here, even though I enjoyed it, because my parents came here, and why would I want to go to my parents' church? And July and August and September were hard months for me mentally. And about that time, I just kind of started coming here because it was the easy one to come to, because one of my siblings was coming here or my family was coming here. And something that I've always been, something that God has really been working on me and have been thinking through with me recently has been redefining the church and redefining what it means to be a Christian, whether it be in our generation or just in general. And right at that time is when you started the sermon series of rethinking the church. And I'm like, oh, okay. So through that, just I felt like what I wanted to share was just how much, even though none of you really know who I am, really how much this church has been able to minister to me just by me coming and sitting in that row every single Sunday, whether my parents are here or not, and just listening to the sermon and just feeling the love just by sitting around you guys. And yeah, it's just been really amazing and really awesome to see what this family has been able to do for me, even though none of you know who I am.
We do now, Simeon. We do now. All right. Who else? Who else?
I am going to sit because I'm going to need my husband's support. I have two of them. One's two enrolled into one. Back in November, my son was looking forward to having a Christmas tree, and I told him we did not have the money for a Christmas tree. He started praying, and I did not know that he could hear Jesus. He's 16 at the time right now. And he came back after a week of praying and said that Jesus told him we would have a tree by the 15th of December. In the meantime, a daughter sent an email out to a school counselor. And on a Monday, the following Thursday, the 14th, my son's math teacher and her husband dropped off a tree. But yet we knew we didn't have money for Christmas presents. One of my prayer warriors is actually a coworker, and she knew some of our situation. And one morning, I know God talked to her, because she came up and said, "What kind of Christmas presents do you have for the kids?" And I said, "We don't have any." That day, we had an early leave from work, because being close to Christmas, we no longer had orders. She took me shopping. We were able to have presents for the children. In the meantime, our car went out and quit working during this whole situation. And my husband's ex-wife and her husband loaned us a car, and we were getting information when we were looking for help that it was going to cost a lot of money to fix it. Well, my husband has a history of doing mechanics, so he took some of the stuff apart and found out one of the pulleys wasn't working on the alternator. And with research, he got it to someone he actually knew back when he was a mechanic. And, of course, some of the history of the Christmas presents and stuff came up. This guy actually is well-versed with alternators. And a very Christian man. And when we got the bill the next day, the bill came out to, it looked like he only charged us for parts. This is God carrying us through time when it's going to be tough. because as another testimony some have heard, back in March, my workplace announced that our plant is shutting down in a year and a half. So now I'm leaning on God to find out what my next assignment is. I had a dream that I was driving a tractor trailer on some back roads, and I saw a tunnel that I could see through. And then someone was waving me down, and I got out of the truck, and the tunnel was no longer see-through. It was bricked up. And then I was driving on the highway again, but it was an open road. And then I saw a state road sign. I only saw the sign with the number 7 on it. So it was telling me I'm on God's highway. Whenever he has me to go, and that's where I'm going. And it's going to happen in a year and a half to 2 years. I'm getting the feeling that I am not going to be moving where the plant is moving to. It is going to be up in Bethlehem. So I'm officially asking for prayers from everyone to help me see and understand what my new assignment is.
Anyone else? You can do it. Just hold that a little bit higher.
The ladies in Bible study know me. The last 2 years of my life have been very interesting. We only have a little bit of time, so I'll narrow it down. But I'm going to ask a question. How big do you think God is? We're going into a new year. And over I'm hearing stories of needs, to put it very simply. And I can tell you, without a shadow of doubt, God is big enough. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's healing or financial. This last year for me is just one big testimony. My husband and I separated. Our house was sold in April of last year. And I was left without a place to live. For reasons that I won't go into, I had nowhere to go. But the Lord just kept pushing me, look at houses. July 4th, I put a bid in the house. It was accepted, and I moved. August 12th. It was like I blinked, and it was over with. And again, there have been little needs, and there have been big needs, no matter what it is. He's big enough.
Who's next? I'll come your way, Carol.
I can talk because Fred's not here. Thank everyone for all your prayers. This has been a long journey for me too, and for Fred. He's at dialysis right now. But I just want to thank Jesus for this congregation and for the prayers that are going up and all the help, because I finally realized, Carol, you have to receive help. You know, sometimes I feel like some people say in here, you're ashamed, like Denise said. But the Lord said, I show you where, how far you have come. And he comes to me at night in dreams. I think the first time he ever came to me, I was 3 years old. But this recently he came to me and he said to me, again, Carol, rest. I be in you and you be in me. But he also showed me a star. He took me up to heaven and I saw this bright star coming out of the sky into the ground. And then I was elevated and I looked down and I saw the star in the ground, just one of the points. And this beautiful glory light was just shining. All of us said, and he said, I'm already here. The Lord is, the people keep saying, I'm coming. I'm already here, but you're going to see me face to face. So I just want to thank you also, too, that even in the midst of your troubles, like the lady said over here, he's there. He is so much there. And people came in and fixed my electric, Myron did. Stove foods, and I just stared at him. He just loved on my Fred, and it's just been so much illness going on, and I'll be quiet after this. We were going shopping, and Fred got it. He said, "I don't feel too good," and I kept thinking, "Oh, he's having another heart attack or something." So we got up and we left, and by the time we got home, he was all right. But then about 3 hours later, the heart group called and said that there was something on the monitor showing up he had a rapid heartbeat, but he's all right. And I was thinking, oh, Jesus is testing me. Do I really trust him? And what I was thinking, if my Fred or any of us in here go to see Jesus, we're never dead. We are alive in Christ. And I just thank the Lord for that, that he loves you. And no matter what, he'll never leave you. Even if a husband or we leave this earth, he loves us. And I keep thinking about my kids. They keep saying, Mommy, you need to, they're in their 30s and 40s, still call me Mommy. They say, Mommy, you need to trust in the Lord and not be afraid. That's what I used to always say to them. So I just thank you and praise you, Lord, for everything, for everybody in here. And that this church is going to flourish in a way that you better be ready for it.
I have several things. Right. Okay. One, on the positive, it's been... interesting, lately we've had the small gifts come in the mail. I should have spoken before the other emotional people started. I am also the one that balances the checkbook. There have been a number of times I couldn't figure out and do my numbers correctly. Most of the time I can add it up, do it in my head. I double check it later to make sure I add it right. But we've had $600 to $700 more in our account than what should really be. than what should really be there. I'm thankful to God. I'm amazed at this. We thank God for what comes in. We know that thankfulness is so important. Jesus did it no matter what the need, whether we needed extra food, anything. He was just thankful. Thank you, Father, for what we have. And he lifted it to heaven. God multiplied it. The reason this financial help is good for us, I've had a health change like 5 years ago. I was learning more and more arthritis in my hands, my feet, my back, my neck, and I've had to leave multiple jobs. And I think our debt is up like $60,000 from where it should be. Yet our credit score is way up. It's been in $750 to $800. We pay the bills, but sometimes just things we can't meet, this is earlier now, just kept growing and growing. We added it to the mortgage. So we're asking God to pay that down. We're thankful for small things. And what I heard about the gift, and it came through someone, if you hear at any time, hey, give a gift to someone, be the gift. Be the giver. It's too easy to think, God, my life is tough too. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 and other places that talks about money. Some people gave a gift to one church, yet they themselves had a gift, but they gave to another one who was in a worse situation. And then Paul talks about the abundance and overflow of coming back to the first giver. It's amazing. If you give in need, God notices. If you give from your riches, he'll still see it. But he wants us to give in faith. And I like the word about a new thing. With my job search for 10 or 11 years, I'd be really excited for a new thing. I grew up in construction. I love it. But I'm starting to see some skills wane. So, God, yeah, I'm asking for that new gift. This church has been a blessing to us with new friendships. Ron and Molly and others prayed for us from family challenges, which I'm not going to go into. And my wife lost her father, but instead of people coming together, there was anger and stress. Her father was a peacemaker. So we appreciated their prayer. Yeah, I've had heart palpitations too. I go in and look at it and say, your oxygen is fine, your heart looks great. And that came from, I think, the acid reflux I fight daily. That's also part of this voice not being clear. Yeah, it's part emotion, but acid reflux can do a lot of burning inside. So I'm telling a long story, but God is good. God is faithful. He helps us through. We're not through to the end. That's why it's hard for me to stand up. Like 10 minutes, I heard Brian stand up. It's like, okay, and say what? So I had to write something down. So yeah, just reiterate again. If you get the chance, be a gift for someone. Be the one who steps in, whatever large or small item it be. It's amazing how we learn and receive the love of God through each other, as well as a direct connection from him. That's the exciting thing about body life.
Thanks, Brian. Anyone else?
Many of you remember Jason sharing about Hurricane Maria going through St. Croix. And you cannot get supplies. The roof went off of the Youth with a Mission property, and you cannot get supplies down there to put the roof back on. So I took on the challenge this past year to get the materials together to put the roof back on the Youth with a Mission property. I'm very thankful there's a team going down here in February to do that. But in just quick story of getting that 40-foot container and filling it with roofing supplies and materials from the area, and I went to get it to the dock. This was here back in May, and Griner's crane came to lift the container to put it on a truck, and it was 67,000 pounds. Trucker says, "I'm sorry, this is too heavy, I can't take it." And he left. Many of you's helped get those materials. Many of you's here helped pay for those materials in this container. And I said, "Lord," I says, "I don't know what to do." I called and I called and I called many truckers, and everybody said, "No, it's overweight. You're going to have to get a second container and split the materials." And I thought, all the work I put into getting this container loaded, I don't want to do that. I was at my end. Lord woke me up one night, middle of the night, and he says, "Jay," he says, "contact Summers Trucking." Huh, Summers Trucking. Next morning, I called Summers Trucking. The first thing the man said on the phone, he says, "How'd you get a hold of me?" I says, "God told me last night." And he says, "Interesting, I hear from God too." He says, "I'll take care of it." Griner's loaded the container on one of their trucks. They took it to the dock, and it's in St. Croix. So I'm very thankful there's a team going to put that roof on, but God was faithful. So listen, you know, God wants, he, again, cares about the details, like many of you have already mentioned.
Anyone else yet?
On my way to church this morning, I knew that this morning would be a testimony time, so I was thinking, but not really wanting to, but came up with the conclusion, why would I not? Why would I not come up and testify of his goodness and faithfulness in my life? This past year has been overwhelming, has been hard, has been good. But I've seen him working in different areas of my life, personally in my time with him, as I choose to set aside daily time with him, and read his word and journal. I started journaling at the beginning of 2018, and have become have seen it as a very helpful tool in expressing my needs and desires, and just my thankfulness for him. And so I've seen him moving in that way, and then through my time increased spending with him, I've heard from him more. So there's been growth in our marriage. We started to pray together at night before bed. It was spoken over us that we needed to start to pray together. So we started doing that, and we've seen, we get to see in each other's spiritual worlds too, kind of seeing what our heart's desires are. Mm-hmm. So we've seen marriage and our unity has grown. We've made some financial decisions to choose to not use our credit card. So we've seen God provide for us exactly what we needed when we needed it. We've had like mortgage reimbursements and things like that show up that we weren't expecting at all. Just to cover unexpected expenses and things like that. So we've seen his faithfulness as we choose to follow his leading in our lives. And my personal journey, I was trying to sit and figure out when it was I gave testimony about postpartum depression. Liliana is 3, so it was probably 2 years ago that I stood up here, I think, at the new year. And since then, God has allowed anxiety to come back, but in a different way and in different journeys. He's allowed me to pursue different journeys along the way, I guess, in pursuing like counseling or natural medicine or food and things like that, and just learning things along the way, but ultimately bringing me back to the place of trust with him. So it's a very detailed journey this past year, but I just wanted to get up and testify of his goodness and faithfulness, because I couldn't come up with a reason why not to. So why aren't you testifying?
Oh, she said it. There you go. Thanks, Joelle. Thanks, Joelle. Anybody else yet? Come on up, Greg.
Whenever there's an opportunity to share about God's faithfulness, what God is doing, you know, I just go back a whole year. That's 365 days. And this morning it seemed like God wants me to share about just my work. At my financial advisor said, you know, you're retired. Just find a job a couple days a week. So I'm working at Musser's Market. And it's amazing how many people come through there. And, you know, we communicate Facebook and, you know, everything, the social technology, everything. But what people really want, I've discovered, is to see your eyeballs and communicate face to face. And so people are telling me their life story, you know, and I'm just trying to do my job. And you know, they have this mindset, oh, we have a captive person here. We're just going to let this person know everything that's going on in our life. And different times I found myself praying for people. They would share their life story, the hardships, the joy, everything. And one person came through. He said, while you're down on your knees, I was stalking. He said, say one for me, you know. And, you know, all kinds of things are going on. But the biggest thing that I've discovered this year, I think, is people want to talk to other people face-to-face. They don't want, how can I say this in a kind way, they don't want a false relationship. They want the real deal. And the real deal is when you see someone and you're talking to that person and you can see the body language and you can interact and you can, you know, there's many times that I just, you know, was amazed at what God did in my life that day, simply because, you know, I was willing to be a servant. And many times, to be honest, I was thinking, I'm too busy. I don't have time for this. But sometimes we have to take time and just listen to people's stories. And over, I mean, I guess I could just write a book about what happened this year. But, you know, there's so many people that go through, and they just... they just want to share what's going on in their life. They want someone. If you're willing to listen to someone, you know that you've got a friend. You've got a friend.
Mm. Thanks, Greg.
I see beginning to come up here, not, and my friend April was saying, "It's your turn." So it's okay. First of all, this has been one of the most difficult years of my life, especially the last couple of months. Between one of my great nephews dealing with some cancer, although he's good, my brother passing, my mom's dementia has gotten worse, and Clyde's dad's not been well, and it's just been one thing after another. But God is faithful. A lot of the things that have happened, my mom has actually put on antidepressants. It was after my brother had passed that she really declined, and it was to the point that I don't think we could have had her anymore in our household, because she wouldn't sleep. She was up sometimes four times a night and waking up pretty much the whole household, and to the point of things. And she was put on antidepressants, and she's doing better. We went to visit Clyde's dad. Well, the second last time we saw Clyde's dad, he was in a fetal position on his bed the whole time we were there. We were there a few nights ago, and he was actually sitting up the whole time. So God is doing some awesome, awesome things. one of my great nephews, it's a long story, but my great nephew's 1 month or 1 week old baby, the dog thought, what they would do when the baby would cry was take the baby and put her in bed, and the dog was crawling in bed with them, and they were not able to physically come to the baby while the baby was crying, so the dog picked the baby up and put it in the bed, but it has no scruff. So long and short of it, there was crushed skull. They didn't know if the baby was going to live or die or have brain damage, but she's doing amazingly well. So God is faithful, even in the midst of everything. And just even going back to our Bible study group, I have seen God doing some amazing, amazing things from Shannon, another woman that has been coming, that God has really done some major work, that John Waller has been working with too. God bless me. A friend of mine also had died. Well, April's and my friend had died. And through that, April and I became friends. Wendy over here, out of the blue, I guess through Maggie, decided to join us 1 week that she didn't know anyone. And Maggie has become one of my very, very close buddies. And just seeing Sandy doing things. God is good, even in the midst of things. Romans 8:28, all things work out good for those who love the Lord according to his glory and riches in Christ Jesus. That is such a truthful scripture.
Thank you. Thank you, Donna. Well, I'm gonna close with three things. Three things really, really quickly, I promise. And I wasn't checking Facebook. I was bringing up an email I wanted to read to you. I'll get to that in a minute. Three things. So going back to Joelle's challenge of why aren't you sharing, look, I know not everyone can share in a morning like this, and I know some of you that are like, I'm not speaking in a microphone, it's not my deal. My challenge simply is to try to find those few moments, either today, tomorrow, maybe New Year's Eve, New Year's morning, whatever, and just do the reflecting that some people have been doing vocally into a microphone this morning. Just thinking through the year and the things that God has blessed you with, it's a wonderful experience. I was able to do that this week, one morning, just looking and thinking about this past year and the ways that God has blessed us and the hard times and the good times, and it's a very healthy and a good thing to do. So I encourage you to do that. That was number one. Number two, did you catch the theme that ran through many of the testimonies this morning? It was about the body caring for the body, about making your needs known and other people stepping forward to help you. I was reading this, I've just finished the A.W. Tozer book called Born After Midnight, which has tremendously blessed me. But one of the things he said in there, he was talking about the body, there's this really important both and. What I mean by that is our relationship with the Lord is first and most importantly a personal relationship. It's me and God. Rick is not involved in that. It's me and God. I come to God, I place my faith in Christ, I receive forgiveness through Christ, and this personal relationship, without that, I just simply cannot survive. That is of utmost importance for each of you. This here cannot take the place of that, the place where you or on your knees, or sitting in your chair, whatever it is, praying, reading the Word, listening to His voice, or if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and He gives you the name of the trucking company. I mean, that's that personal connection. But A.W. Tozer said that that is so important that then we go beyond that, then it's this. Then Rick is very important to me, and so are you, Rich, and so is everybody else. You know, we're to do this together. We're to walk this journey together as a body. And the testimonies bore that out in so many different ways, where people were talking about, this is how someone helped me. They supported me. They prayed for me. They gave me a gift. They blessed me in some way. I really believe that is one of the growth areas for us. And as we've talked about, like, rethinking church, I think the kind of the organized modern church has lost a bit of that. You know, so much focus on what happens in the service or a sermon or something like that. We've lost some of that personal connection with one another. That was number two. Number three, I wanted to close with this. As people were sharing this morning, I just had this sense of like, Ron, you know there are people here this morning who are, they're hearing the testimonies, but they're saying, I'm not experiencing that. Like, I'm still in the dark place. I'm hearing of God's faithfulness, but I'm not really seeing it. And far be it for me to explain why that is your situation. I believe that there are many different things that God does. There are times he teaches us. There are times he allows us to come into situations that are very difficult. And sometimes his word is simply, be still and see what the Lord is going to do. There are times it could be a sin issue, something he's wanting to make clear to us. And I'm not suggesting that's the case for any of you, but there are a lot of different things. But I was talking to a friend this week about this idea of when we're in that difficult place, it's easy for us to want to fight, to take control, and make things happen. And the reason I was getting my phone, I wanted to bring up this email because I quoted part of the book that I just read, and it was easier to find it on my phone than find it in the book. This is what A.W. Tozer said about this. He said, it is vitally important that we move up into the Spirit and cease to defend ourselves. I have never met a victorious Christian who was on the defensive, but I have met, I cannot tell you how many jumpy, skittish, and thoroughly unhappy Christians who were burning up their energies in a vain endeavor to protect themselves. These poor, dejected souls imagine that someone is forever trying, as they say, to put something over on them. The result is worry, restlessness, and a kind of low-pressure hostility toward everyone that they may have reason to believe is after something they possess. My earnest advice to all such nervous souls is to turn everything over to God and relax. A real Christian need not defend his possessions nor his position. God will take care of both. Let go of your treasures, and the Lord will keep them for you unto life eternal. Hang on to them, and they will bring you nothing but trouble and misery to the end of your days. I don't know if that applies or is encouraging or challenging to any of you. I just felt I should share that here at the end. So if you're in that difficult place right now, make sure you're letting God lead the way out of the difficult place. If you try to manage it yourself and really pull in and take control of things, it doesn't go that well. So let's end with a prayer of thanksgiving. Again, thanks for sharing this morning. And I don't know what you have planned yet. The last few days of sort of like this official holiday time, and then you know what Wednesday's going to be here, and like, here we go again. The holidays are over. It's back to whatever it is we do on our normal days. But Jesus is every bit as real on the normal days as he is on the holidays. So let's stand together. Father, thank you for our time together this morning, and I thank you for many who are willing to just make a public declaration of your goodness and your faithfulness. God, these testimonies just reaffirmed over and over that you are a faithful God, that you provide, that you care about us. God, the other thing that I hope that anyone here, in case there was anyone here this morning who was under the false impression that other people don't deal with the things they deal with, that other people, especially Christians, would never deal with something like depression or anxiety. They would never deal with things like worry or just struggling with the things of life. God, I hope this morning and hearing these testimonies is a reminder to all of us that I really am like everybody else, and everybody, we're humans. We deal with these things. This is the stuff of life. Becoming a Christian does not rescue us from it, but it brings us to a place where we have someone that will rescue us from it, someone that will help us through it. So God, we thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness to us. as we look ahead to the new year. God, we trust your faithfulness, and we are eagerly anticipating all you hold in store for us. So I ask your blessing on this body, every person here, what a blessing they are to me, God. Bless them today, encourage them today. And again, for those who might be this morning in still that place of struggle and they haven't seen how this all is going to work out yet, God, encourage them today that you are completely aware of their situation and you want them to rest in you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just very quickly before you leave, next.